Hi, my name is Tony. I am a shy and introverted kid, and I created this podcast with some help and encouragement from my dad. The goal is for me to break out of my shell and become more comfortable with people. It's important to be a good listener, but also to be heard when you have something to say. Hi, my name is Tony, and welcome to the 7th episode of my podcast. Today, my special guest is Randy Duchuk. Say hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Let's get started. Where were you born?
I was one of the very few that were born in Calgary, Alberta.
What was your first job?
I was a prep cook at Boston Pizza back a long time ago.
Do you have any hobbies?
I actually got plenty of hobbies. So I am very interested in aquariums. I love my fish. And so I've actually had plenty of different sized aquariums, all the way, from the regular 5-gallon aquarium all the way up to a 350-gallon aquarium. And to put that into perspective on its size, it's about 8 feet long and about 2 feet wide. So they're really big. Aside from that, I enjoy tinkering around with my computers, and I love gardening, so I do lots and lots of gardening, and I enjoy playing around in my RV and just getting it all renovated and messing around with it.
What kind of plants do you grow?
I grow lots of stuff, nothing illegal. So currently I've got, in my RV with me, I've got a bonsai and I've got an orchid. And normally when I have a garden, I grow a lot of edible plants. So I grow like my carrots and my potatoes, strawberries. I tried corn last year, but our September freeze completely wiped it out before it was even ready. Tomatoes are a big favorite of mine. I love putting those along with lettuces and getting them all set up. And that way I can make my own salads.
That's really cool. What's your favorite food?
Ooh, I think it would probably be easier for me to say what's not my favorite food. I am, even though I'm actually a very thin guy, I got a real high metabolism, I love my food, and I eat all sorts of stuff. I'd have to say one of my most favorite is something that I make, and it's an almond-crusted Parmesan chicken. So, and I make that whole thing from scratch. It's absolutely delicious. And I do have a recipe, and I can even plug that over to you afterwards. It's super, super healthy, low carb, but it beats Shake and Bake any day of the week.
That sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
What is your current job?
Currently, I am a security engineer for a IT security and access management company. So what we do is, the simplest way to break it down would be that my job is to keep the hackers out of corporations. So we set up the firewalls, we manage firewalls, we also deal with logging systems, penetration testing, just a whole bunch of, like a big slew of different things. And our clients are everywhere from your, regular small business to, government, to law enforcement and beyond. And we're in Canada and also down in the States, even though we're just a small company of like 12 people.
That sounds really interesting. Did you start out as a hacker?
I wouldn't quite say a hacker, but when I was in college and I was taking the courses to get into IT, as a little throwback on that, while I was doing that, I was actually working with thoroughbred racehorses. I was literally shoveling crap for a living. And I went on to get into school, and my college roommate was friends with what's called a zero-day group. And so a zero-day group is a group that will get software, movies, whatever else out, get them hacked, and then put out for distribution for people to download illegally as soon as possible, usually the same day that stuff comes out. And I got to learn a whole bunch of tips and tricks through them and got to get knowing them. And then what we started doing was starting to, I became a what's called a courier. And so my job was to access their servers and start distributing this stuff to all the different servers so it could be downloaded. And then from there, we started playing war games. So, you know, the more I did, the more trust I kind of got. They allowed me to come in and start learning some of the some of their tools. And then we every week what we'd do is one of us would build a server and try and lock it down, and the rest of us would attack it, trying to find its vulnerabilities, trying to get into it. And so we did that lots. And then eventually I realized all this stuff they're teaching me, I can make a lot of money by being by stopping them from doing it because they're showing me all of their tools. And so that's where I actually got really interested in the security side. And it took me 8 years from going from, oh my God, I could make a lot of money working legally to stop these people, to actually getting into where now I am doing what I can to stop these people.
Are you successful at stopping these people?
So far, yes. With a lot of the systems that we deal with and just the attention to detail that we really focus on, we've been able to actually maintain that barrier between our customers getting, our clients getting hacked, and their usability of being able to still use their network. Because no matter what, at some point, you're going to get hacked. That's just the way it is. If you're the only way to never get hacked is to not own a computer. That's the only way it'll ever happen. So far, yes. One of the previous oil and gas companies I used to work at was actually on the target list for Anonymous a couple of years ago that they were going to attack. And we were watching our firewalls, and slowly, all of a sudden, throughout the day, we saw the number of attacks start to grow, but they never, ever were able to get through our network. So we were usually pretty successful. I did not work for Target.
I've heard a lot of IT people are introverted. Are you one of those people?
I most definitely am. But over the years, I have learned how to be outgoing even when I don't want to be. So it would be easier to call me an outgoing introvert. I'm one of those kind of people that in the right situation, I can seem very outgoing and very extroverted. And it lasts an hour, maybe two. Before I have to kind of hide away from people because it's just drained my energy. But I'm able to take on that time and be the life of the party. However, I wasn't always that way. Going throughout school and everything, I was very, very introverted, did not have a lot of friends. It's hard to relate with people when you really don't want to be around them. So one of the things that I ended up doing is, it's very true with IT, a lot of times, a lot of people are, they're introverted because it's easier to deal with a machine than it is to deal with a person. Machines are predictable. They don't get upset if you aren't interested in spending time with them. So they're just a lot easier to handle. And when you get into, say, my line of work, I have kind of a little bit of both. There's times when I have to deal with my clients, and so I have to do face-to-face meetings. But for the most part, I'm very lucky with my job where I do a lot of my work remotely. So I just have to deal with these people through email or through link chat or sometimes on the phone. But otherwise, I usually just kind of connect to their servers. I do my stuff that I have to do and send them a report on what had been taken care of.
I understand you relocated to Vancouver. How is it like there?
It's actually pretty good. So I'm happy to be away from the snow. I came out here just the beginning of March, and it's been a lot of rain. So unlike, you know, in Calgary, there's a lot of snow. Out here, it's rain, but it's always green. So like there are, I have the cherry blossoms that are outside. They're all growing. I've got daffodils that are already up, coming up, ferns. It's the rain I can deal with. It's absolutely beautiful. It's so green. When it was, you know, minus 15, was it last week or the week before in Calgary? It was plus 10 here. And it was awesome. I'm sitting outside. I'm just working. Don't have to worry. It's absolutely beautiful. And It's really good. The one thing that I think was big, my biggest hurdle, I think, would have been dealing with the SkyTrain for the very first time. And so that was something else to deal with because they actually have zones here. So you have to purchase your ticket based on how many zones you're going through, and it's something else.
And what's a SkyTrain?
So a SkyTrain is similar to a C-train, except that they are built up in the air. So the cool thing that's different about them, based from, say, Calgary C-Train, is that these have no drivers. They are fully automated, computer controlled, and they show up like every 5 minutes. So it's like, two cars, I think, two or three cars. You get on, it heads off. A couple minutes later, another one shows up. And they are all perfectly timed so that there is no anyone getting in the way or any sort of crashes or anything like that. The downside to that is if some crazy bugger decides he's going to go take a walk out onto the track, the entire system shuts down. And then if you're on a train, you're stuck. It doesn't slowly bring you to the next station. It just, you have to sit there and you have to wait. But they are very, very neat. I got some pictures up on my blog, so.
That sounds really cool. What is your blog about?
So my blog is about my experiences living in an RV. So I am out here currently without my family while I look for a place. And so I actually live in a 24-foot motorhome, and I have everything that I need. And it's just sharing my experiences with everybody, with what I do for cooking, what sort of renovations, what my experiences have been as I drove out here from Calgary. And it's absolutely wonderful. I started the blog back in 2008 or 2009 when I first moved into a camper van. So I had a whole bunch of stuff happen in my life, and I decided I'm just going to get into a camper van and I am going to do whatever I want. And I don't care what anyone thinks because I've spent so many years worrying about what other people thought. And so in doing that, I found it was a good place to actually start getting out some information for myself. The blog started out kind of like an online diary. And it was something for anyone to read, and I ended up with lots of followers, lots of people really enjoying what I was writing about. And I decided to continue on with it.
What is it like living in an RV?
It's a lot better than you would think. I know within society, a lot of people, they look at, if you're living in an RV, then oh, you must be homeless. But it's nothing like that at all. In my RV, I have a bed, I have a dining table that are completely separate. I don't have to break down my dining table in order to go to sleep. I've got a sink, I've got my fridge, I've got my stove, my oven. I even have a bathroom and a shower. So everything that all the basic necessities that you need, oh, and a furnace. I got a furnace as well, and air conditioning. So, I had air conditioning before, and I have air conditioning living in an RV. But these are the basic necessities that a person needs, and the whole thing is wrapped up in, what is it, maybe 140 square feet? And it's something, yeah, about 140 square feet, something like that. Lots of light. I got windows on all four sides of the RV, and I get tons of the natural light. I got lots of fresh airflow. I got enough room for me. And in fact, I could actually bring my family as well if I wanted, but then it would get tight. So living in it it's brilliant. So on a financial aspect, living in the RV, here's what I have. So everything I just told you, I got my whole home and I'm totally at peace in there. And then at the park that I'm currently at, I also get a swimming pool, a jacuzzi, a workout room, a games room, a lounge, which I'm in right now, internet, and we have a little store. Plus, I also have laundry, and we have unlimited showers. So, and for utilities, included in my lot fee is my power, my water, and my sewer, and all that all together costs me $800 a month. Now, Try and find in a major city an apartment, a stick-built place that will give you all of that for $800 a month.
Is your family back in Calgary or in Vancouver?
My family's currently in Calgary, and they are waiting until I find a place. So it's a matter of finding a suitable place for us that's in a neighborhood that'll be safe, still close to transit, and within a reasonable price that will also allow us to have our cat. So my cat is with me right now, and him and I hang out in the RV, and it's a matter of just trying to find a place. So some of the places that we have found, they meet all the criteria except allowing us to have a cat. And then other ones, they'll allow us to have a cat, and then you look up the crime stats for the neighborhood, and it turns out it's the murder capital of Western Canada. So you don't want to live there. Eventually, I'll have my family out here. It's going to take a couple of months, but they will come out with me soon.
What's the name of your cat?
His name is Loki, after the god of mischief.
I think I'm going to end, so thank you, Randy, for being here. It was very interesting talking to you.
You're very welcome, and have a great one.
And thank you, audience, for listening, and I will see you back for another episode in 2 weeks.